anytime I start feeling a little down or discouraged, I just go back into the Bible and I read my Bible and I understand that this isn't, I'm not doing this for me. And also I've learned to give praise to God. When people come to me and say, "You're really great," I'm like, I thank God for this message. I thank God for the gift. And when you do that, then it's less about you. If somebody says this sucks, well, I don't, it doesn't matter to me because God is just using me as a conduit to send a message to the masses.
Welcome back to another episode of Capture the Thought. Today, we're joined by a gifted singer and songwriter, Inomuno, whose song Kumsoro has been doing really well on radio. Welcome to the show, Inomuno. It's great to have you here.
Hey, Grace, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to meet you and to have access to your audience and have this conversation. Thank you for having me.
Sure. So this is a question I love to ask the musicians I talk to. What song is on high rotation on your playlist right now?
Song that is on high rotation on my playlist right now. Wow.
What are
So
you
to be
listening
honest,
to?
who I'm listening to? Yeah, that's a great question. Funny enough, you would hope as a musician I listen to a lot of music, but I really don't because I'm most of the times creating music myself. So at the risk of not just sounding like I'm self-indulgent and always listening to my stuff, the most recent song I was listening to is actually a song. I think it was called Perfect 10. That was the song that I was listening to most recently. It's a song by a rapper, but it's a song where a guy is asking an individual, you know, where's your soul at? Where's your heart at? And I mean, it's a circular song by this rapper called Nipsey Hussle, but the song itself is one song I've been listening to even at the gym. And he talks about how, funny enough, we were just talking about this before we got on the call, before we started recording. You know, he talks about how life is a marathon. He as an artist has gone through, he says as an artist he's gone through all the emotions, even though he may seem like he's really poised, he has gone through all the emotions of doubt, hope, sadness, like this is not working. But the one thing that has that made him succeed, because at this point he's singing the song as a famous artist, was because he just persevered. And that's the difference between him and another artist or another individual who gave up. And that's the song that I was just listening to recently at the gym.
Oh, cool. I'll definitely check it out. I haven't listened to it myself,
That's
so
good. Perfect.
I'm always on the lookout for songs to add onto my playlists.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, can you tell us about your background, your childhood, where you're from, what life was like growing up?
Yeah, so my childhood, I was born and raised in Nyanga. So it's in the eastern part of Zim. And I was born a preacher's kid. So actually, the time I was born, my parents were preachers at Zioja. They were the founders of the Zioja branch in Nyanga, Nyamanda. And so when I was born right in the church, at the church, and we grew up there for a bit. And then eventually we moved to Harare for a bit, Warren Park, and then we moved to Rua. But I was still a baby all throughout that. And then I'd really say my roots and my childhood memories were really kind of constructed and molded in Mutare, where we eventually went and settled. And that's pretty much where I had most of my childhood, in a neighborhood called Chikanga in Mutare. And that's kind of where I grew up, went to Chikanga Primary School, which is a local, you know, neighborhood primary school. And I went to a high school called Mutare Boys briefly, before I moved to the US when I was 15, after getting an academic scholarship to move to a high school here. And so most of my life from childhood all the way up to 15 was in Zim, Nyanga, Kumusha, which is our rural home, and then Mutare really is where most of my childhood memories are. And then from 15 all the way up until now, I've been living in the US. And I grew up a preacher's kid, which is why you'll see most of my songs, even the secular songs, are very much songs that are to build people up. I think about the content in terms of I'm a Christian man. What are the stories that I want to tell that can be educational? And I try to link everything back to God. I try to link everything back to how can I build society? How would a Christian man like myself communicate to the world? How would you write a love song? How would you write a Christian song? How would you write a song about political, socio political issues and stuff like that?
I find that interesting because I feel like Christian musicians, well, people who see themselves as Christian musicians or often feel the pressure to only write about Jesus, and which is good, which is fair and fine, but then you can also glorify God by singing a love song as so long as it honors him.
Exactly. So I used to be one of those people, to be honest, because, like I said, growing up a preacher's kid, I learned how to sing in the church. I learned how to play piano in the church. And so music was always a mode of worship. Like I music has always been spiritual. We would sing to get people to pray. We would sing to get people to, pretty much communicate with God and get in the spirit. And so when I started writing songs, I was always struggling with, but my parents are both preachers. I'm a preacher's kid, and how can I be singing songs that are not gospel in their entirety? But then I had one friend who was very supportive of me, Ezekiel, and I met him online actually. And one day he gave me the greatest advice where he said, look, even you listen to secular music. Even, people from the church listen to love songs, people from the church listen to breakup songs. So how about, how wonderful is it that you are somebody who is Christian, who loves God, and you can still write songs that are love songs and that are breakup songs, whatever the songs are, but from the standpoint of like a Christian person, and people still listen to it. And that made me sort of think about it, like, yeah, I mean, I as long as I'm not doing anything that is hedonistic, I can still be able to write a song that is loving, because God is love. And every, I don't know, it just kind of opened up my eyes to I shouldn't be ashamed to write a song or to write about any topic as long as I'm doing it from a place that honors God and that is wholesome. So that was really helpful.
And so you mentioned that you both your parents are pastors, right? And so how did you discover Jesus for yourself? I mean, faith isn't often like hereditary, right? How did you go on? How did you choose that path for yourself and say, okay, this is what I want to do for me?
So I think growing up, it was almost like going through church and Christianity and spirituality as a child, almost as like following my parents. And then I actually for some time struggled a bit because I felt like I was shackled to church stuff. And then my dad founded his church Hope Alive in Mutare, and just even building a church was like a nightmare to see him going through the ups and downs of him being our father but also him trying to build a church. And so throughout my life I was very much almost going through it like on autopilot because I was born into the things of God. But when I left home at 15 and I came to the US, I had the opportunity to, I think for the first year or two, actually, I never really went to church because I felt almost like lethargic and I had some aversion due just to some of the struggles that I'd seen of my family and my parents within the ministry. And I almost had an aversion to things of God, things to do with the church. But I think it was really more my spirit was bruised from just seeing the human side of the church in some sense. And so it took me a moment to just be like, I don't want to have to deal with this. And then I was just living my life day to day. But then I remember later in high school, just having moments whereby I would sit in my room, and I had started by then making music because I had access to a laptop that I'd been given at this private school that I was going to, and I was struggling to acclimatize, and so I started making music on my own, and I had a keyboard that my brother got me, and as I was playing songs by myself, I found that whenever I sat down to make music, the only songs I could play were really songs from church, songs that I grew up listening to. So I would sing like, "Mono shamisa, ishe Jesu," and "Ndomtevera, ndomtevera Jesu." All the songs that I would sing, just almost for even for comfort, when I was by myself in the comfort of my room, as I was trying to create songs, would always be songs like church songs that I'd grown up singing. And I don't know, somehow, like, and when I sing and I play those songs by myself in a room, like, I get, like my heart, it's deeply moved by the Spirit of God. I don't know. It's almost like you cannot escape God, and you cannot escape his calling, or if he's chosen you to be under his wing, it's inescapable. So as much as I was not physically going to church, whenever I would sit down and try to make songs or play songs, I would end up singing songs that I grew up singing with my family at church, and they would just move me to from singing to starting to pray to eventually reading my Bible. And this time it was not at the behest of my parents or the orders of my parents, but I was doing it by myself because it just felt like the right thing to do, and my spirit was moved to do so. So I would say I went from just a kid doing it, following their parents, to following God on my own around 16, 17, when I was just in the US away from my parents and realizing I needed God in my life, and I was so far from home, and my life had been transformed by him. Even from where I came from to where I was, it was not even possible to have been done by just the mere hand of a human being.
That's beautiful. It almost sounds like God had to kind of separate you from that so that you could discover him for yourself, actually. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's almost a very, like, within that wilderness of your life, then you can see clearly where the light is, right? It's almost like if you're closed up in a really dark room, and then somebody pokes a hole in a little corner, and then they shine a little light. It's it's almost like when things become so dark, you're able to see that glimmer of light and where it's coming from. And I think I needed that in some sense to realize, well, I wasn't just following God as a child because my parents said, well, now it's Monday, we have to go to church. Tuesday, let's go to church. But no, it's like there is a real connection and a real relationship. And God has been carrying me from when I was a child up until now, where I am. And I had to have that realization by myself.
I also think it's pretty cool that you're able to develop that relationship with God at such a young age. I mean, you're a teenager. I think a lot of people often go through maybe even most of their lives without really knowing him. And so I think that's amazing.
That is true. I think I was very fortunate. I was very fortunate. And the relationship keeps growing, right? Even at 17, and now where I am, I'm still going through that relationship with God. And sometimes I will struggle. I will have some doubts, and sometimes I will have, moments of like, I've done something wrong, and I feel like how do I come back to God? The relationship is always evolving, but one thing that I know for certain is that God has always been there, and he's always there. And usually it's me who has to decide if I'm stepping away or paying attention to him. And so as I go through life, I'm always going through the motions of it all. It doesn't mean I have it figured out, even though I've experienced God and seen his hand. Sometimes there's a human side of things where you struggle and you have all these issues, and as you go through life, as you get older, you think about relationships, you think about family, you think about extended family and all the things happening. I have moments where, I'm always asking God to strengthen my faith, because sometimes I feel weak as well,
And that's very normal. That is so true. Just to backtrack a little, so how was your move to the United States, besides the fact that it was an opportunity for you to kind of draw closer to God in your own way? I mean, you were being transplanted into this country, which is away from, the people that and you're in this place without your family. How is that for you?
So I was lucky that my older brother had moved to the US in 2001. He got a scholarship to go to college. So he was here when I moved as a 15-year-old. So initially I lived with him. And he would go work. He worked in Wall Street at the time, and I went to the school. But then eventually another hand of God, which I believe, I ended up meeting what is now my family here in America. Was like almost like a host mom, but now she's like my mom. So I say host mom just for relatability to the outside parties. Who her name was Andrea, and she had a son who she said that, she was a single mom, a fashion designer in Connecticut, where my school was. And she just took me under her wing because my brother was 24 at the time. I was 15, and I was living with him. And she was like, "This is like, how is it that a 15-year-old is being taken care of by a 24-year-old? You guys need a family and a mother." And she literally opened up her beautiful home, gave me a bedroom and everything that I needed, and she pretty much took care of me as my mom in the U.S. And I never lacked a mother here. I never lacked a home. I never lacked a meal. Before I moved in with her, I was always getting sick, eating frozen foods. I was spending so much time by myself. But it was really a miracle when you think about it, because I'm a black kid from Zim, from Nyanga, Mutare. And there's this lady who's Italian, who from New Jersey and lives in Connecticut, and she takes me in to like as another son of hers, and she just took care of me and became a mother. And to me, that's also something that I'm like, God could have, it can only be God, because just needing everything together by the hand of a human being, it does not even compute, and so I pretty much went from being me and my older brother, just the two of us trying to fend for ourselves, to having a family and a home that I could come back to after school with warm food and like a parent asking me, how was school? How was, did you do your homework? I would drop you off at school the next day. We'll do a vacation together, et cetera, et cetera. So God has taken care of me and, guided me through the most amazing relationships that I've ever had in my whole life.
That is, wow, that
Yeah, I've been fortunate. I've been very
amazing.
fortunate.
True, you have been. And you've briefly touched on this, but how have you managed to retain a sense of who you are in a foreign country?
That's a very good question.
Your values, your identity, and all of that.
I think the one thing that I never lost is, I think the older I've gotten, the more I've actually dug deeper into who I am, and I find that I am Zimbabwean, I am Shona, and I mean, if you notice, most of my songs I sing in Shona, even though they sound Western from a instrumentation standpoint. I sing all my songs in Shona, and I think that maybe is the most evident way of me saying, like, remaining connected to my roots and who I am. Number one, in just singing in Shona, expressing myself poetically in Shona, and writing my songs in Shona is always a big reminder of who I am and where I'm from. And even the conversations that have spurred from the songs I've written in Shona have been with people from back home, and I've made sure to target my audience with my message and my music to be Zim, even though I'm looking outward as well. But I was like, I want to address people from home. I want to address stories from home, my own stories of friends and people that I know. And I go home quite often. I go home almost every year. My parents are still back home. I have siblings. I'm one of seven. So now there's three of us here. There's four in Zim. So home in Zim is still home for all intents and purposes. And I remain, connected to my family, WhatsApp groups, where we send messages every day. I call my mom every other day, my dad. I have my siblings that I talk to all the time. I read Shona books. I actually have a bunch of Netembo books that I read and memorize.
Really? Wow.
I do, I do.
You're
And it's funny because some people have flagged, when they listen to some of my songs, they're like, "Oh, you're Shona." Somebody was like, "Oh, Shona Agondiasabugu. Like you speak like you write like a chief." So, but it's because I am so hungry to remain connected with home and my identity and where I'm from and who I am. And I'm very proud also of being Zimbabwean and very proud of being Samanyika Shona. I'm very proud of that as well.
Wow, that's amazing. How did you then decide to pursue music as a career? It's a bold move. A
is.
very bold move, and some people are scared because it's a path that's it may take time for you to see the fruits of, And so what made you decide that, okay, I'm gonna do this as a career? And do you even do it full time?
Yeah, no, I think it's a great question. So I am scared, always scared, but the Bible says do not be afraid because God will be with you wherever you go in Joshua 1 verse 9. And so and God did not give us a spirit of fear. So against my human side of fearing the unknown, I step into the world with so much hope and so much confidence. Because I believe that God has a purpose. But that said, music is my second life. And I have a regular 9-to-5 job. And thankfully God blessed me with a job that, pays well. And earlier we were talking about, you being a one man, team and self-backed. Similar to you, I am also just a one man. And I write my songs, I sing them, I produce them in my bedroom, and then I have a friend who mixes and masters them, and then I release myself and I promote everything by myself. And I've been very fortunate that I have a job that I work that gives me enough money to do all those things. And I think in some way it has enabled me to not compromise my art, because I don't do it for the money. It has also enabled me to not be afraid to step into music and write songs and release them because maybe I, unlike somebody else, I have this cushion of the money that I make when I'm working Monday through Friday. But obviously my prayer right now and my dream is that eventually I can do more music than do my regular 9-to-5 job in tech. But as of now, I'm thankful that even the job that I have it gives me enough bandwidth to still work and still be able to create songs and release them and connect with people as well.
How is that journey like though? You're balancing work with music. And do you ever get discouraged because you are a one man band? I think we talked about this before we started the show. But do you ever get discouraged, and how do you deal with those moments?
I do. I mean, it's funny because when I released Kumusoro, for example, I remember the song was being played first time on Star FM, and there were people who were commenting like, "Oh, this song is like a 3 out of 10," or "This song is too slow," "This song is boring." And somehow I ended up hearing some of that audio from somebody who sent it to me. And I remember being very discouraged, and I made a post about it where I was like, like this is, and I put my heart into this song, and people are saying it sucks.
Oh, wow,
but
that's
you know,
wild.
so it's tough sometimes to escape the human side that wants people to really love everything you do and for it to excel. Which is also why, when I was talking to you earlier, I figured out how it's important for me to value one-on-one connections I have with people, because my messages may not be for everybody, but the music might be for a few people, might be for one person, might be for three people. And that's fine, because you want to understand that if your stuff has a purpose, it's not for everyone. The more unique and the more unique and bespoke your thing is, the less it's not for the masses. It's for unique individuals and people that need to be addressed. And especially if it's things of God, yes, it may be for the masses, but there is one or two people that maybe reached out at that time. And also over time, things change, right? Because that was the first time it was played, and now over time, I've had thousands of people who've reached out on social media, texting, commenting, and a bunch of other hundreds who would message me directly, being like, "Oh, I have a sibling who's struggling with drugs. I have a family member who's struggling with this, and this song has helped me, or this song just helped me go through some hardship that I cannot share," et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's always a struggle, and emotions fluctuate. Sometimes I'm like, feeling great. Sometimes I'm not. But ultimately, I think the one thing that keeps me going is that I know I'm doing this for a higher purpose. This is bigger than me. I know that God has a purpose with what I've set out to do. And so anytime I start feeling a little down or discouraged, I just go back into the Bible and I read my Bible, and I understand that I'm not doing this for me. And also, I've learned to give praise to God. When people come to me and say, "You're really great," I'm like, "I thank God for this message. I thank God for the gift." And when you do that, then it's less about you. If somebody says this sucks, well, I don't, it doesn't matter to me, because God is just using me as a conduit to send a message to the masses. So whoever gets it, gets it. Whoever doesn't, doesn't. I just try to remain grounded. Like, I know it's important to know when your human side is trying to take over, so that you can say to it, "Hey, like, calm down, because God says this." So I step into things with confidence, but it doesn't mean that sometimes my mind does not play tricks on me. Sometimes my mind will be like, "Whoa, but this song, maybe it will focus on the negative thing that somebody has said." Or it will just focus on, maybe this song is not getting as much traction as the previous one, or it will focus on another artist who is doing something from Zim and people are liking their stuff more than mine. But that's really all my mind and my body, my human side, getting into this. But I know that this is bigger than me, and that this gift was given to me by God. And these songs that I write and the feelings that I spread and the messages are bigger than me. So I'm really not competing with anybody, because I'm just doing what God has called me to do. So it doesn't matter. All those things don't matter. So I have to tell myself that and remind myself, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, that is so important. I think it's so easy to forget. Sometimes when you're doing that you're actually doing it for God, and you focus on the process itself, like, how many people are going to listen to this, or how many people are going to actually see the message that I'm trying to put across. But it's not just about the people. It's really about the person, about God, and the call that He has placed on you.
Exactly. And sometimes the message may be for you, right? So you may even, let's say, it may be that you're doing this podcast. It may be that it's God taking you through a journey to learn about yourself, right? So sometimes you can even write a whole song and maybe two people listen to it, but just the process of getting those words and writing them and meditating over them was for you to get your own healing. So sometimes we can separate ourselves from the art as well, but the process starts with you. And if it's coming from God, God works you first, then you spread it to other people as well. So That's another thing that is important when you're creating stuff and you're doing it for God. And I don't know, I remind myself of that as well.
Just to go into the deeper into the songwriting process.
Sure.
You write your songs. Is there how do you work it? Do you work it back? Like, is there a theme in mind, or you just, or is something placed on your heart and you feel, okay, I need to say this?
So I mean, the thing is, and you'd asked me earlier how I manage like work and how I manage having my job and trying to do this music as an individual. And I think I didn't really even answer that. So that goes into how I write the songs, and hopefully I address both at the same time. So because I have this job 9 to 5 that's demanding and I want to do music, I don't really have much of a social life.
Oh,
So my life really revolves around I work, and then after I work, I come home and then I make my music. But when I am, because I spend a lot of time by myself, whenever I have conversations with people, it's really intentional.
no.
So if I reach out to a friend, and I rarely text, I like to have phone calls. I would talk to people and I really listen. And between what's happening in my life and what people close to me that I care about that I talk to, I meditate on those stories and the feelings, right? So if I'm talking to a friend and they're telling me about I have some friends back home. So when they talk to me about what's happening, if you go through some of my songs, like I did a song called Rora, which is about a guy telling a girl that, wait for me, I'm coming to marry you, I'm just trying to make ends meet. That was a conversation from stories that I had with some friends. I did Kumusoro, which is a song about really touching on the issues back home with the drug epidemic amongst youths. And this was from having conversations with loved ones and friends. The most recent song I released, Usambonyara, is a song that's saying, do not be afraid to bring your burdens to God. This is the advice that I've given to people, to myself, saying, don't be ashamed to come to God. Don't be ashamed to speak up about what you're struggling with. Finding the love that is close to you within reach. And so most of my songs come from sort of endless meditation, like around different conversations and things that stick out to me or things that sort of spark some emotional response within me. Then I will write a song about it more, sometimes as a way to process it for myself, and sometimes as a way to actually send a message. Like I would write a letter to a friend and say, this is what I would say to them, or this is how I would describe an issue that I'm thinking about or pondering to an audience. And so it's usually the instrumentation, I do it very easily. It's easier. It comes naturally more because I play an instrument. The writing part is what takes me a bit of time because I always want to make sure I'm addressing what I'm feeling inside in the right words. Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. That's very interesting. I haven't heard that often from songwriters that they base some of what they write on conversations they have with people. But I suppose you really need to pay attention to everything around you just to, see what God wants you to say sometimes.
Exactly. And I think that's the, and I think the one testament that for me has come from it is one of the things that I strive for is if you write something from an honest place, it will connect with people, right? Because even if I write a song about love, everybody falls in love. So if I write an honest expression of love, it could be you're in love with your pet, you're in love with your mom, you're in love with God, you're in love with your friend. If I capture the feeling of love, it's going to be universal. If I capture the feeling of hardship, like Musoro, I could be talking about drugs, but the people who've struggled with just like, I have a burden, I cannot pay my college loans or whatever. And they say the song Musoro, you capture just the feeling of like, I have a burden that's heavy on me and I need help from God, from loved ones. So the important part of meditating on something and really listening to people and listening to yourself is that it enables you to then really then channel that emotion and that feeling as you're singing also, as you're writing it. Because you want to make sure you're using the right words and the right melodies that sort of really channel that. I've had people who don't speak Shona saying, oh, Yesterday, actually, somebody from Namibia reached out to me and said, "I was just listening to your music. I don't even know what you're saying, but the feeling just made me feel calm." And then I was like, "Well, I channeled a calm feeling, I guess." So you need to really meditate on it before you just put it out there. And that's why it takes time sometimes to write songs. I don't really release tons of songs. I probably do like a song a month at most, or sometimes I'll do like four songs a year, because it's really like an important thing. And I'm not doing it to like, compete with another artist who's releasing something. I just want to get that feeling out as authentically and as honest as I can.
That's so good. So are there any projects in the pipeline that we should be looking forward to? Anything in the works that we should keep our
Yeah,
eye
I do.
on?
Yeah, you got me at the right time, Grace.
Oh, yay.
So Kumusoro was actually the first song on my EP, my very first body of work that I'm releasing. So I go by Inomuno, which is the first name that I came up with when I was thinking how, what could be my artist name. But whenever I call home, so my mutupo, my totem is Zila, Mvu. And one of the praise names is Sambili. And my mom, whenever I call home, my mom is very traditional. She doesn't call me Eno. She just goes, Magadi Sambili. And that is like the most, that's home for me. Like when I call my mom and she says Sambili, it doesn't matter where I am, what's going on. I just feel like I'm in within my mother's essence and the love of home. And that really encapsulates who I am and the stories about my life. And so the EP is called Sambiri, and it has five songs. And Kumsoro was the first song that I wrote, which I released. And the thing is, I'm not releasing all five songs at once, because I want to give each song a chance to, like, we were talking about this earlier, to percolate, to really sit with people. And since I also am like a one-man PR, marketing, branding, it's hard for me to properly market and roll out a five song EP and properly push it. So I'm doing a song a month, and eventually they will all be cataloged on all distribution platforms as the EP, which sums up different parts of stories I've had with people, my own struggles. I sing about love, I sing about life, its ups and downs, life in motion. I sing about falling in love and past heartbreaks. I sing about temptations that I've had with women and how I've had to almost fight back and really lean on to my foundation of being a preacher's kid and being a Christian and being a man who wants to please God. And so Kumusoro was the first song. The second song, actually, I released the second song on this EP called Usambonyara. I released that last Thursday. So I'm currently actually in the process of promoting that song. All songs have videos that I shot when I was in Zimbabwe in January. So this is the first time I'm also rolling out a full project with visuals that I shot at home. And really, all the songs are really honest, and me putting myself out there, which is why maybe I get a little emotional when people give negative comments, because it's almost like putting your heart on your sleeve. But I'm excited. I'm really excited. And Usambonyara, great testimonies. Even yesterday, somebody wrote to me. They stumbled upon the song on YouTube, and they were just recently diagnosed with stage three hypertension. And they said yesterday they got diagnosed with stage three hypertension. They were on YouTube just scrolling through songs. They came across this song, Usambonyara, where I sing about, wipe your tears, don't cry, and give your burden to God. And she said she just started listening to this song, and she said, "Wipe your tears. I'm not gonna cry. I'm just gonna take care of myself and trust God." And so, even that connection that I had with that lady who wrote to me about that story, it was like, this is a miracle, and this is also God using me in a way to connect with somebody. And so I'm promoting this song, and the third song, fourth and fifth songs will come out next month, all the way up until August, where I'll be releasing each song a month. And I'm excited for the videos to come out as well, and for people to get to know who I am and what my message is about. And hopefully this thing grows. and I connect with more people and they actually get the message, you know?
I'm looking
Yeah.
forward to it. It sounds like you got really vulnerable on that
I did. I did. Hopefully, you know, I don't get into some troubles.
I don't think
You
you
know,
will. I
you gotta
mean,
be careful.
yeah, it's true, but I think the beautiful thing about vulnerability sometimes, as you've already mentioned, is that people really relate to that actually. So it sounds like you have an honest body of work, and I think people will actually they'll actually connect with it. So
I hope so. I hope so. And I'm a firm believer that what's the point of our stories, if we're not using them to for others to learn from them, and to help others, right? That's so for me, you know, I don't shy away, or at least I'm trying not to shy away from being honest and open about who I am, and also even, you know, that yeah. I just want to be open and honest and connect with people genuinely, and build that community of people that also want to be authentic and honest and hopefully serve God, and also serve the community, and serve others too. I mean, I think God always talks about how faith without works is dead. So as much as we love God and we may say all these wonderful things, eventually our works will show. How much are you showing up for your brother, for your sister? How much are you showing up for your family and your friends? And so I hope to connect with people through art, start conversations, build relationships, and ultimately create a community that is better and more loving.
That's really good. And I
Yeah.
personally love your music, not just love your music.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And thank you for opening up your platform and for having this conversation with me. And again, just from you, from one creative to another, you know, I'm here to support you, support what you're doing. And there's a reason why God connected us. Nothing happens without him allowing. So if ever I can be of service to help push your message to the masses, I'm here for you as well. And thank you for opening up your platform so we could have a conversation and get to know each other.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Just before we close, I have one more question for you.
Sure.
What words would you have for someone who's still trying to figure out what God has called them to do, or who's trying to navigate in that space?
The greatest thing that I has helped me is if you're trying to figure out what God is saying to you or wants you to do, first off, ask him. But as you're asking God, ask God to communicate with you in a way that you understand. So I think sometimes we just ask God, and he's speaking, but maybe we're not hearing it. And so my prayers have always been, whenever I pray to God, I say, God, you know the maturity of my spirituality, you know my going in and coming out. Please speak to me in a way that I understand. And so I and then after that, I also encourage quietness, because sometimes we need to be still. I mean, there's a reason why in the Bible there's always like, peace be still, peace be still, be still. Because within the stillness of it all is when we can also hear God. So and God does speak to us. So ask God, speak to me in a way that I understand, and also have moments where you are still and looking and listening. I think that would be my greatest advice. That's what I do whenever I'm unsure what God wants from me. I ask him, and now I've learned to also speak to God in a very open and honest way, where I pray to God like, Mari, you know me, like I'm talking to like my therapist sometimes, like I'm talking to my father, you know, my friend in some way. right?
just
I'm
love
like,
those
God.
things. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, God, this is, ABCD, where I'm lacking, where I have it, all these things. Speak to me in a way that I understand and show me in a way that is clear. And God does. God does speak and God does open our eyes and God is real. So just, yeah, ask him and he will show you the hidden things in this world. I mean, he says that himself. So ask.
Wow, this has been really good. Thank you once
Oh,
again
thank
for
you.
coming onto the show. It has
Oh,
been
thank you so much
great
for having me.
talking
Wonderful. And you have a lovely evening. I know it's late in Zim right now. Well,
to
relatively speaking, yeah.
you.
So thank you for staying up late, for giving me this chance to speak. And let's keep in touch for sure.
Definitely, most definitely. And
Awesome.
so, we have reached the end of this episode. Until next time, stay safe. Goodbye.